Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for all your goodness in our lives. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for the community of believers you've given to us as well. We pray that you would open our eyes to the subject that is before us, a subject that is very near and dear to your heart. Help us, Lord, to understand better about spiritual gifts and how we can use them well for your glory and for the good of others. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, we continue our series on spiritual gifts. This is the fourth message today, and this message is about finding and using your spiritual gifts well. In the first two messages, we looked at the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit, and last time, the third message, we looked at 12 of the 18 gifts described in four key passages. The chart is there, or it's right there in front of you. We looked at 12 of them. Romans 12, verses 6 through 8, 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, then verses 28 through 30 of the same chapter in Ephesians 4, 11. That's the four key passages we're looking at. And we looked at 12, the highlighted ones. We saw those gifts of evangelism, pastoring, teaching, encouraging, wisdom, knowledge, serving, leading, giving, showing mercy, faith, and distinguishing between spirits. The remaining six, apostleship, prophecy, miracles, healing, tongues, and interpretation of tongues, we're going to start looking at that from next week. Look at the first two, the apostleship and prophecy, Lord willing, next week. And I mentioned that these 18 gifts are not exhaustive. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, Paul seems to refer to marriage and celibacy as gifts. They're not addressed in our series. For this series, we're focusing specifically on those passages that seem to specifically call out spiritual gifts. Today, we're going to be addressing in our sermon two personal and practical questions. Two. Number one, do you know what your spiritual gift or gifts God has given you? Do you know what they are? And number two, are you actually using those gifts well? Do you know what your gift or gifts that God has given to you? And number two, are you actually using those gifts well? You see, more and more as I live the Christian life, I'm convinced that the church is not as effective as it can be when only a few people do everything. Its full potential is realized when every believer faithfully uses their God-given gifts. This is not my opinion. This is God's design. He talks about every part, every member within the body working together so that the body will become mature. So I want to encourage every believer in this room today, every believer, to put your gifts to use by looking at 10 principles in total from the scripture. We're going to get 5 for finding your gift and 5 for using it well. That way this church can be all that Christ has designed it to be. But before we dive into the principles themselves, I want to clarify a common misunderstanding about how spiritual gifts are discovered. I am aware that there are tests and surveys designed to help identify spiritual gifts. There's quite a few out there. And I guess they can be a helpful starting point, no question about it. But spiritual gifts are not primarily discovered by taking a survey or a test. You find your gift by actively getting involved in the local church. Let me repeat that again. You find your gift by actively getting involved in the life of the church. That is the New Testament teaching. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul uses the physical body, which has many parts, but each with a function. And he says if one part of the body does not function well, the entire body suffers. A part discovers its function only when it's connected to the body and remains active. So in the same way, for spiritual gifts, believers need to be connected to a local body and actively be involved in service. So my appeal, especially to those of you who are still on the sidelines, is this. Don't wait for clarity before serving. Serve. Find areas of need. Put your heart and soul in it. Clarity will come. And for those who are already serving, my appeal is that you keep striving to excel. Don't be content where you are. Keep striving to excel. Think of these 10 principles I'm going to give to you, not as a checklist, but more like a compass pointing you in the right direction, to come alongside, to get you to think a little more deeply. So here's what we're going to do. First, we're going to look at 2 points, discovering, then using your gifts. For discovering, we're going to draw 5 principles from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. We're going to read the text. First, these 2 verses, follow along as I read them, and then we're going to draw 5 principles for finding your gift from these 2 verses. Beginning in verse 10 of 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter, writing to suffering believers, stresses the importance of using their spiritual gifts, starting out by saying this way: each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. 5 principles. We're going to look from these 2 verses, beginning with the very first principle of finding your gift is this. You must believe that every believer has been given a gift. If you are here saying that by God's grace, I am saved, I am a follower of Jesus Christ, then believe with all your heart. Every believer has a gift, usually more than one. God gifts every believer gifts. This might seem obvious, but it needs to be said because many believers live as though it does not apply to them. That's the sad reality. But notice what Peter says. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received, first part of verse 10. Notice the words, each of you, not some, not the spiritually mature ones, not those who've been here in church for a long time. Each of you. Paul says the same in 1 Corinthians 12:11, as he reminds us that the Holy Spirit gives gifts to each one as he determines. To each one as he determines. No believer is left out. Calvin said it well when he said, there is none so poor in the church of Christ who may not impart to us something of value. Something of value. Again, Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 21 affirms this truth when he says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. In other words, every member of the body is needed. That includes you as well. That includes you. So start here. Believe that God has gifted you. Pray for his help in identifying the gift. Serve others. Invest in relationships. And as you keep doing that, your gifts will become crystal clear. You will notice what energizes you and where you are effective. In fact, people will affirm your impact. They'll come and say, you know, that blessed me. Joy, inner peace, and the encouragement from others will help confirm where God is at work within you. Start, if you never started. The famous painter Leonardo da Vinci was a young student. He was very hesitant, but his older, wiser teacher asked him one day, finish a painting that I've started. He felt very unworthy and hesitant because his teacher was a brilliant man, but his teacher simply told him, just do your best. Just do your best. And as Da Vinci worked, confidence grew and the gift within him became clear. Everyone needs to have a starting point, no matter what. God calls us to do the same. Overcome our fears and start putting our gifts to use. You see, a gift left unopened on a shelf benefits no one. Benefits no one. Today is an invitation. Pick up that gift. Open it. Plunge into the life of the local church. Second principle for finding your gift is this. Know that gifts are given to help others. gifts are given to help others. The famous evangelist D.L. Moody reportedly often prayed, "Use me, Lord, use me, not show me off. Not show me off." He credited all fruit to God, often saying this, "I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody." So the focus is on Christ. The Holy Spirit will glorify me. Where the Holy Spirit truly works in a person's life, Christ will be glorified. The light is always shown on Christ. Peter again affirms this in verse 10, saying that spiritual gifts are to be used to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. God gives a variety of gifts so that we can steward them in its various forms. Not everyone is gifted the same gifts. He gives various gifts in its various forms, multicolored, so to speak. And we are to be stewards. Moody understood that gifts are given to help others and build the church. They're not for self-display. Paul reinforces this truth at least three times in his letters. 1 Corinthians 12:7. "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." 1 Corinthians 14 verse 12, "Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church." Same chapter verse 26, "Everything must be done so that the church may be built up." Again, Calvin's words help us. That's what he says. "Whatever ability a faithful Christian may possess, he ought to possess it for his fellow believers, and he ought to make his own interest subservient to the well-being of the church in all sincerity." What point is if you have a gift if it's not helping others? Your gifts, your own interest, always lay down for the benefit of others. So when you ask God to show you your gift, also ask, how will this gift help other people and build up the church? If you cannot answer that question in the affirmative, that this gift will help build up others in the church, then perhaps something is wrong there. Because gifts are given for the common good, for the benefit, for the building up of the church. Third principle for finding your gift is this: know that gifts are to be used in a way that lines up with the Bible. That lines up with the Bible. In other words, it's one thing to feel like I have a gift, but when that gift is being utilized, does it line up with the scriptures? Notice what Peter says in first part of verse 11. "If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God." You can extend that principle, meaning that all gifts must be exercised in a way that conforms to scripture. In other words, we cannot build ministry based on what appears effective, but on what is true. Pragmatism must never replace the precepts of God. Hey, this works, let's do it. No, is this according to the scriptures? Is this according to the scriptures? Proverbs 19 verse 2 says this: "Desire or zeal without knowledge is not good. How much more will hasty feet miss the way?" It's important. It's not to just say, you know, I'm filled with emotions, I want to do, and here I'm doing something, but it does not line up or conform with the scripture. In our results-oriented culture, it is tempting to soften difficult truths to gain a following. It's tempting. Soften it. Shave a little bit off here. Shave a little bit off there. Let's just get them in. And then we'll give them the hard truths. That's deception. We dare not play with the souls of people. If a doctor tweaks the results just to get you to the operating table when nothing is wrong with you, you would not like that. Or tweak the results to keep you away from the table, you would not like that as well. So how dare we play footloose with the ministry God has entrusted with us? It is not what works. Is it biblical or not? Faithful obedience to God's word, not results, must be the primary focus of using our gifts. Obey, leave the results in God's hands. That's how it should be. Obey. Is it conforming to the scriptures? That should be our primary focus. fourth principle when it comes to finding your gift is this. Know that gifts are to be used with the strength God provides. They're to be used with the strength God provides. Peter continues in verse 11 in the middle part. He says, if anyone serves, after talking about anyone speaks, and he says, if anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. In other words, spiritual gifts are not meant to operate independently of God. Not operate independently of God. Relying on His strength keeps us humble. Even when people share similar gifts, their effectiveness may differ because God gives different opportunities and different measures of strength to people. That's why the best thing is don't compare. Don't compare. Just faithfully serve with what you have. Stop the comparison trap. It's deadly. You will never be content once you fall a victim to the comparison trap. Because then what that also will make you do is be competitive. Sinful competition. Instead of being encouraged, it will be, I want to be better than you, or I want to be as good as you. God uses even our weaknesses to display His power. Paul was told in 2 Corinthians 12:9, that very famous verse, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Trading our weakness for His strength, that's a fantastic trade. You will come out a winner. I'm trading my weakness, Lord, so that Your strength can fill me and operate in and through me. If God has called and gifted you, believe that He will also empower you to do the task. Believe that. His strength will help you utilize that gift. A young missionary once shared, I felt so inadequate for the work God called me to do. But as I kept showing up and relying on God, I saw His power at work in ways my own strength could never achieve. Take that step of faith. Believe that if God has called you, God will empower you. It's not about others. It's about being faithful with what's entrusted to you. A little later, we're going to see those talents that Christ talks about in the parable in Matthew 25, each according to His ability. Each according to His ability. Be faithful with what's been entrusted to you. Fifth principle for finding your gift is this. Know that gifts are to be used for God's glory. Peter closes verse 11 with this purpose. So that in all things, all the spiritual gift, whether you speak the very words of God, serve, do with the strength God gives you. All these things to be done so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be not some glory, but all the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Yes, gifts help people. Yes, gifts strengthen the church. But above all, they are meant to bring all the glory to God and God alone. Again, where the Spirit works, He will glorify me, Jesus said. So where the Spirit works in and through us, with the gifts He gives us, Christ must be displayed. People should be able to see Christ show you off, Jesus, not me. That should be our prayer. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31 says that whether you eat or drink, as basic things as that, eating and drinking, and then whatever you do, which would include using your spiritual gifts, do it all for the glory of God. Do it all for the glory of God. Five principles to help lead you on the path to finding your spiritual gift. If you came here today looking for a formula, so by the time I leave, I know exactly what my gifts are, I'm sorry to disappoint you. But these principles, I think, will help you to see through a biblical lens, to identify or even to confirm the gifts that God has given you. Understand, believe that you, as a believer, have a gift. Again, it's not a checklist like a compass pointing in the right direction. You have been gifted. And your gifts are to help others. And they are to be used in a way that lines up with the Bible. Don't serve and say, I'm utilizing my spiritual gift if it contradicts the Bible. And use those gifts of the strength God provides. Don't compare, don't get discouraged, do the best you can. And finally, understand that gifts are to be used for God's glory. Second point in our sermon today, how do we use them well? This we're going to look at different parts of the scriptures. Again, the very first principle here for using your gift well is this: keep developing your gift. Once you know this is my gift, don't stop there. Keep excelling in it. Keep developing your gift. Identifying is not enough. We must keep sharpening it to become more and more effective. Paul instructs Timothy this way in 1 Timothy 4, verses 13 and 14. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. This was Timothy's call. This was what God gifted Timothy to do. Then notice how he connects, verse 24, do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. In a sense, this is what Paul was telling Timothy. Timothy, you're gifted to teach. But keep working at it so that you can excel at it. In his second letter, he would say, divide the word rightly. Keep working at it. Be diligent. Don't stop just because you have this gift. Don't stop because you have this gift. Keep working at it. Keep working at it. In other words, if you're gifted to teach, keep working at it. Sharpen your skills. Don't stop reading. If you're gifted to evangelize, think constantly about how I can be more effective to different audiences. Keep thinking. And if you're serving, gifted to serve, think constantly, how can I serve more efficiently? God is not against productivity. God is not against efficiency. God is for it. So don't stop. With the strength he provides, Lord, how can I be even more effective? How can I be even better at this? Again, not competition, not comparison. Our audience is one. So you lean to him, help me, Lord. I want to be a greater blessing. Even in our older years, Bible says we can still bear fruit. Help me to bear fruit, Lord. Rich fruit. Help me. Help me. So don't settle. Strive to excel. Number two, using your gift well. This is the principle. Use your gifts with humility. Use them with humility. When asked the three most important virtues of the Christian life, that early church leader, Augustine, said this. Number one, humility. Number two, humility. Number three, humility. But as one person wisely said, it is very hard to behold our own gifts without pride and the gifts of others without envy. It's true. That was exactly what was happening in Corinth. So Paul confronted them directly in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 7. He says, for who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? This truth alone should crush all pride, envy, and that competitive spirit that so easily creeps in. All that we have is a gift. It's a gift. No room for arrogance. No room for, I know it all. People keep coming to me for answers. If you have answers, praise the Lord. It's because God has given that to you. We need to be honest. Pride is sneaky. It sneaks up on us. Sometimes it says, nobody can do this as well as me. Other times, it disguises itself as insecurity. I'll never be as good as that person. So, why bother? I'll just bury my gift. That too is pride because that kind of a heart cares much more about public perception than pleasing God who's given that gift. Because it's more of a performance mentality. If I don't perform well, what will people think of me? So who's the focus there? Self. Not the Christ who gives us that gift through his Spirit. And God will humble all such pride, either by removing the joy of serving or even the opportunity to serve will be taken away. Like a cup that is already full, which cannot receive anything more, a heart that is full of itself leaves little room, if at all any room, for the Spirit to work. We have to empty ourselves for for the Spirit to fill us. That is why we must continually pray for humility and total dependence on the Spirit's power and wisdom. And from that posture of humility flows the third principle of using our gift well, which is work hard in using our gifts. Humility says, I know I have the ability to botch it up, to mess it up. I need you. Help me, Lord, to work hard. With blessings come accountability. When God's gifted us, there's an accountability with that. We will all give an account to Christ for how we used what He entrusted to us. You see, God takes our stewarding His gifts very seriously. When we waste our lives, we're not wasting something that belongs to us. We are wasting something that belongs to God, who has graciously given that to us. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells a parable. You're familiar with that. If not, look it up later. About three servants entrusted with three kinds of gifts or talents. Verse 15 says, each according to his ability. That's the key. Each according. The first two, the one that got the 5 and the 10 talents, worked hard. Text says they worked hard and doubled what they were given. Both heard the same approval. Matthew 25, verse 21 and 23. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. But the third servant, who was given according to his ability, the one talent, went and quickly buried it. And the master's response was sobering. You wicked, lazy servant. And then came the severe judgment in verse 30. Throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Folks, that tells us neglecting what God entrusts to us is not a small matter. It's a serious heart issue. In fact, it may even point to the fact if we are truly saved or not. Because that is not a description of one who's a believer. Outer darkness is a picture of someone who's outside. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, 2, now it is required that those who have been given a trust, a stewardship, something entrusted to them, must prove faithful. It's a requirement. Jesus himself said in Luke 16, verse 10, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So often we dream of big ministries, big this, big that. But we neglect what's been given to us. God says, how can I entrust you with more if you're not faithful with the little? Sometimes it may just be the little for all our lives. That still, even little is big because God is involved in it. It's a heart issue, isn't it? I want to work hard with what's been given to me. I want to work hard. I'm not advocating burnout. That's not what I'm saying. But honestly, how many of us are really in the danger of burning out? The greater danger is rusting out. Is Christ not worthy of our effort, our energy, and our sacrifice? Ultimately, how much I give myself, how much you give yourself for service is a reflection of how much you think and feel Christ is worthy of. Start just doing lip service. Our lives should say that person clearly appreciates the sacrifice of Christ. They don't just come and sing praise with a loud voice. Their actions show. Fourth principle for using your gift well is this: persevere in using your gifts. Persevere. Be prepared to face seasons of discouragement. Be prepared. There's going to be long seasons of being in the dark valley. Yes, those mountaintop experiences come, but those are not always the case. No visible results. Nobody seems to notice. Very few people show up. These are real struggles that can quietly tempt us to either grow careless, sloppy, or just give up. But listen to how Jesus describes the good soil in Luke chapter 8, verse 15. The seed on good soil, he says, stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. The key word is persevering. Spiritual fruit does not come easily. The enemy, the flesh, and the world will intensely oppose every effort to bear fruit. Try to give one gospel tract. The hands freeze. The tongue freezes. The enemy will oppose every effort. But notice the fruit does come. Jesus doesn't say fruit does not come. He says by persevering. It comes to those who persevere, who simply, by the grace of God and the strength the Holy Spirit provides, refuse to quit. I know you've called me to this. I'm going to keep persisting. The world may call me crazy, a madman, madwoman. It doesn't matter. I'm really convinced in my heart you've called me to do this, Lord. And if God redirects, He redirects. That's all right. Doesn't mean you don't listen to the counsel of others. But the idea is don't quit easily when life circumstances press you down. Persevere through that. So others will see and get encouraged and say, wow, that person, God enables them to do this. He will enable me to do as well. So I'll press on. I'll go forward. So don't give up. Paul echoes this call to persevere repeatedly. Let me give you just two passages. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Again, that idea of perseverance, if we do not give up. It's easy to get weary. Long seasons of discouragement can bring that weariness. But Paul says, don't give up. 1 Corinthians 15:58. That beautiful resurrection chapter culminates with this. So what's the resurrection ultimately about? Why am I writing all these 57 verses? It's because of this. Paul says, therefore, because of Christ's resurrection, because of the promise of believers' resurrection, because all will end well for those who put their faith in Christ, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord, for the Lord, in the strength the Lord provides, is not never in vain. Nothing we do for Christ's glory will ever be in vain. We may forget, He will not forget. Remember that. That's the confidence with which we keep pressing on day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and so on. Long obedience in the right direction. Fifth principle for using your gift well is this. See, underlying of all this, I caught a glimpse of that. You guys were talking about that at the FOF when I came for some coffee. Use your gift in love. We're going to dedicate a complete chapter. The sermon series, Lord willing, is going to end in 1 Corinthians 13. Use your gift in love. Perseverance matters, but the motive behind that is not a grudging pressing on. It's an attitude of love. Love gives our service its true value. Jesus said in John 13, verses 34 and 35, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Our love for others should mirror the love that Christ has for us. And because spiritual gifts are primarily used within the local church, love must undergird everything we do. That is why the Holy Spirit place this great love chapter of 1 Corinthians 13 right in the middle of the teaching on spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 is talking about gifts. 1 Corinthians 14, how to exercise them. But in the middle, this is the motive. This is how you do it. Notice the threefold repetition of the phrase, do not have love, in the opening three verses of 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. In other words, if I have the greatest eloquence in speaking, still don't have love, I'm just an empty vessel making a lot of noise. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. Zero. If I give all I possess to the poor, give over my body to hardship, footnote, you know, even if given to the flames, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Don't have love, I'm nothing. I gain nothing, just an empty vessels, making some noise. Where love is absent, even the most gifted and the most diligent and the most persevering person will not find approval from God. And since the purpose of spiritual gifts is to glorify God and build others, love must govern everything we do. Whatever you do, do it all in love. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16:14. After all, love for God and love for others is the very core of the two greatest commandments, isn't it? And see, you see how spiritual gifts fits in it nicely. Love God, glorify God, love others. Use your gifts to build others. So love must undergird the exercise of our spiritual gifts. So 5 principles for using your spiritual gifts well. Keep developing your gift. Don't be content. Keep sharpening them. Keep sharpening them. Ask God to enable you to produce more fruit so people would be blessed. Use your gifts with humility. Work hard in using your gifts. Work hard. Don't take it light. Persevere. Don't give up. Don't give up. Maybe some of you, you're really at the verge of giving up. Or it's just a silent, you know, absence from God, from people. Don't go down that path. Ask God, Lord, please, please help me. Go to Him. And finally, use your gift in love. You're gifted. There's stewardship given. Use it to bless others. 10 principles we covered today. But please don't file this away just as another list. Think of it as a way to encourage you to press forward. Maybe you've been sitting on the sidelines for a while. You come on Sundays, you listen, you go home, but you're not really engaged. You tell yourself you'll get involved and life becomes less busy, but that day keeps getting pushed farther and farther away. Can I gently say this? That day is today. Do what you can with the strength that God's provided, with the time that He's given you, whatever you can. Take a step forward. Or maybe you've been serving, but the joy has faded. You're tired. Life circumstances just pressed you down. Don't give up. The harvest is coming. Your labor is not in vain. Your labor matters to God. It matters to people. Don't give up. And perhaps some of you who've never really believed that God could use you, someone with your background, your struggles, your failures and limitations, you look at others and think, you know, that's for them, not me. God says otherwise. Each of you has been given a gift, if not more. And that includes you. You're called to be a steward, not a spectator. This week, take just one step, one small step. Sign up. Sign up to serve in some capacity. Say yes to an opportunity. Show up. Trust in the Lord to help you. When we live our lives this way, faithfully taking small steps week after week, we are investing in eternity. Don't forget that. And one day when our work on earth is done, how wonderful it'll be to hear those words. For each of us to hear those comforting words from Jesus Himself. Well done, good and faithful servant. That, dear brothers and sisters, is worth everything. But also a word to both who use their gifts well and those who don't. Being faithful with your gift shouldn't make you feel superior, because without the Spirit's work, we're all nothing. Don't get an attitude of superiority. Without the Spirit's work, we're all nothing. But also on the other side, being not as faithful as you should shouldn't make you feel so hopeless, because your value is in Jesus, not necessarily in how effective you are serving. You've used your gifts. So start today. Again, come back. Come back today. Know that your identity is in Christ. Christ plus or minus nothing. And with that in your mind, let the Spirit work the gift He's entrusted into you so others could be blessed and the church will be built. Confess, repent, and lean on the Lord to help you faithfully to use the gifts He's given to you where you need to do that. But before we close, let me quickly speak to those of you who are still far away from Jesus. Before you even think about spiritual gifts, You need the giver of these gifts, the Holy Spirit Himself. And the Holy Spirit, the greatest gift anyone could ever receive, is given to all who repent of their sins, who turn from their sins and trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord, as their Savior. Acts chapter 2 verse 38 says this: repent, turn from your sins, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In other words, when you turn from your sin, turn to Christ in faith, surrender to Him, you will right away receive the Holy Spirit, the greatest gift, singular. And then confess Him as Lord openly through the waters of baptism. Once you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, He will give you spiritual gifts. And then you can start using those gifts faithfully for the glory of God and for the good of others, depending continually on the Holy Spirit, the giver Himself. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that Your good hand has recorded these things for us. Help us, Lord, to find and use our gifts faithfully so that You would be pleased. And for those who have not experienced the gift of Your Spirit, help them to experience that where they are, even right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.